prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Hello, folks, and welcome. This is Pastor Butch Paul. You're listening to Financial Survival. We'll be joined in a minute, as usual, on Wednesday by Wendy Wilson, and a little bit, but joined by Melody Cederstrom. And it is the 29th day, and I believe 29th. Yes, it is. Hard to believe. 29th day, November 2023. My goodness, how this year has flown by. But nonetheless, welcome to the broadcast today. We've got a lot of news to cover, a lot of current events, and we'll start out with the metals and the markets. And the metals done, well, gold, I think, done very well today. It was up only a couple bucks, but it's up to $22,042, only $28 from a new record. Think about that, $2,042. Silver was down 2 cents, but still $24.98, $25 an ounce. Platinum was down 10 to $9.32. Palladium was down 26 to $10.12. But folks, I have to reiterate that gold is only $28 from a new record high. Think about that. We're just in the beginning. The markets today in the U.S. today are just basically unchanged. Barely. I mean, Dow was down 2 points, but 35.415. Nasdaq down 31, but 14.248. S&P down 7, 45.47. FTSE was up 0.44 to 18.467. DAX was up 1.09 to 16,166. Nikkei was down 0.26 to 33,321. Hang Seng was up 2.08 to 16,997. Oil was going back up again. It was up $1.46 to 77.87. USDX was up 10.10 cents, but still lower than it was 105, 106. Now it's 102.85. And the 10-year yield was down 0.067 to 4.267. So there you have it. Some change in overseas markets, not much. But again, the metals are gaining ground. Silver back up to $25 an ounce. Gold's up to almost a record high. I suggest you move on pretty quickly. You know, they were down a month or so ago. Melody got a space showing right now, as you know. So I would call her if you could and get it ASAP, because they're going to go up again. 800-375-4188. Now let's go to our special guest, Wendy Wilson. She's part of the family, you know. She's here with us every Wednesday, and she's always here to share information that's really, I think, very interesting. She's going to talk about your DNA today. Yeah, and who gets it, what they do with it. So hang in there. Wendy, are you there?
I'm here, Pastor Butch. Always great to be with you and all the listeners. And Pastor Butch, what did you say gold was today?
2042. 2042.
Yeah, definitely.
28 bucks from new record.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing about gold. It's never worth zero, you know?
No, that's it. The gold isn't, silver isn't. No, no, no matter. If everything else goes to zero, I don't care if the silver dollars are only worth a dollar. It's still worth something.
Right. Well, that's that old adage where, you know, at 1900, if you had a $20 gold piece and a $20 bill, both of them would buy a man's tailored suit.
Yep, yep.
And then you buried them in the ground in your mason jar and you dig it up today, that gold coin will still buy a tailored suit, maybe more than one, but your $20 will not.
$20 won't even hardly buy you a loaf of bread and gallon of milk.
But, I know.
You know, but yeah, the gold coin today be worth over $2,000. So yeah, it'd buy a couple of nice suits. Absolutely.
I know. Yeah. Well, let's get into the topic of your genetic science. My question is, I've been asking, is genetic DNA science accurate? Because you may have heard me say that, you know, modern medicine uses this fallback excuse for a lot of medical conditions they don't really fully understand and explain it away as being a genetic. It's your DNA. It's, you know, you were born with it kind of thing. So in other words, there's really no, to them, outward influences that can contribute to your disease, and the person pretty much was born with it. So here's a short list of conditions science says tends to be genetic: autoimmune diseases, cancer, heart disease, diabetes, and psychiatric illnesses. So the number one influence, though, I've found, the number one influence for a lot of health conditions is brought about by how we what we expose our body to. So lifestyle is usually a major culprit. And we tend to live and eat like our family members, so we may get the same kind of conditions they did. So you can connect the dots, your family tree, certain health conditions in your family tree. Are you eating and living like your relatives? Now, prescribed medications also taken into the body, and they too can bring about health problems, yet science has a different position on that. Here is a quote from Molecule Psychiatry Journal, October 2021. They say the ability to directly assess people's genetic propensities has transformed research by making it possible to add genetic predictors of traits into our studies. The value of polygenic scores in the behavioral science rests on using inherited DNA differences to predict from birth common disorders and complex traits in unrelated individuals in the population. This predictive power of polygenic score does not require knowing anything about the processes that lie between genes and behavior. The British Medical Journal said this year, this March. They said, the development and use of polygenic scores is attracting money and attention. But for most common diseases, the unglamorous but well-established risk factors like smoking, obesity, socioeconomic deprivation matter more than a person's genetic background. And we need to invest in tracking lifestyle risk factors more. So they seem to know there's a big difference. And this new study, October 2023, this University College of London, they reported some findings on a very large study, and it was published in the October 2023 British Medical Journal. It was regarding human genes related to disease, and the research looked at 926 gene-related risks to 310 diseases. And science calls this polygenic health risk, and they score patients to offer estimates of their disease risk. Guess what, Pastor Butch? The overall findings showed this. Only 11% accuracy that people will develop the disease they're predicted to get. 5% of the people who tested positive don't even develop the disease at all. Unaffected people outnumbered those that were affected, and also more false positives than true positive results are what they're getting from genetic testing scores. What do you think of that?
That's interesting. Very interesting.
So here's the problem. The test that they use to predict a patient's health risk to a condition has the impossible task of assessing millions of genetic variants, making the test likely to produce a false report. So medical science is using tests like this to screen for common conditions like heart disease. However, perhaps the inaccuracy of the test is not a concern to your modern medicine, but an advantage, as it seems to have a 90% false positive result, putting more people through expensive tests and putting them more on toxic medications. So why do they care? They're getting paid, right?
True.
All right, so here's the British Medical Journal also chiming in on that College of London study. They said companies have already been established to sell polygenic risk score testing, and it's a major tool for the nationwide Our Future Health project. So it has been claimed by science that polygenic risk scores will transform the prediction and treatment of common disease. They go on to say strong claims have been made about the potential of polygenetic risk scores in medicine, but our study shows that this is not justified. And they conclude with, we found that when held to the same standards as employed for other tests in medicine, polygenic risk scores perform poorly for prediction and screening across a range of common diseases. Wow. But they're selling it like it can't fail. Like it's, you know, very accurate.
Like it's a miracle. Like it's a miracle of some kind they discovered. Wow.
Oh, yeah. They can see into who you are kind of thing.
Yeah.
So the report went on to state that if you are polygenic tested, let's say for breast cancer or coronary artery disease, the risk scores will offer 88 to 90% of those tested a positive risk score. And 5% are really not affected by the disease, and 10 to 12% of the cases will present an actual health risk. So whereas in May of 2020, science polygenic testing for disease would report a 59 to 65% predictable risk for disease, but here's what doctors have been reading in their medical journals. Genome-wide associated studies have shown unequivocally that common complex disorders have a polygenic genetic architecture and have enabled researchers to identify genetic variants associated with disease. These variants can be combined into a polygenic risk score that captures part of an individual's susceptibility to disease. So polygenic risk scores have been widely applied in research studies confirming the association between the scores and disease status. They go on to say polygenic risk scores have moved from research discovery to clinical research study and have now started on a slow path to clinical implementation. So the strongest evidence for polygenic risk scores currently comes from cardiovascular disease and breast cancer, where the risk stratification of those at high polygenic risk is clinically utility. So they're using it to sell treatments is what they're doing.
That's called making money. That's called making money.
So this genetic testing is being sold as a health risk reduction to patients, though. So prediction versus your explanation. So there are some scientists within medicine not completely sold on the polygenic risk score theory of being reliable. Here's a quote from Your Molecule Psychiatry. They say, proclaiming that these processes make polygenic scores confounded based on inflated predictors or have confused an explanation of prediction. These studies require enormous efforts because samples of unprecedented size are needed to pan for specifications from millions of variants. So they're saying the studies are too small to even make an impact to be a predictor. They go on to say, this is British Medical Journal, we must not let enthusiasm around polygenic scores allow us to forget other factors that are bigger and better modifiers and relevant for everyone. They argue that all this enthusiasm around the polygenic scores should not detract from efforts to tackle these big modified environmental risk factors, which is in general to the population, and that offers a more wider utility to spec from. And another concern, Pastor Butch, is scientists, they have this, that the genetic pool often that they're using for the pro-polygenic research is not a broad genetic scope. This is what British Medical Journal says. The genetic variants used in the polygenic scores are established in genome-wide association studies, with over 95% of the participants in these studies are European. So these scores will typically have lower predictive accuracy for when applied to people with non-European ancestry. Think about that.
That doesn't make any sense. But anyway,
I know they're taking just a small segment of the world population to base these polygenic scores on. But if you're talking about genetics, how is that going to cover everybody?
That's a good question.
They go on to say it has been suggested that polygenic risk scores could be introduced early on to help prevent breast cancer and heart disease. But in the examples that we looked at, we found that the scores contributed little, if any, health benefit while adding cost and complexity. They said we need to protect the public from unrealistic expectations and already stretched public health systems from becoming overburdened by the management of false positive results. Our results build on evidence that indicates that polygenic risk scores do not have a role in public health screening programs at all. End of quote. They said you shouldn't be using it.
Well.
So what have we learned?
We've learned it's useless. That's what we learned.
Yeah. Scientific medicine, like other businesses, use new ways to sell patients on their treatments. Always investigate your tests and your treatments. British Medical Journal says, contrary to what many people might expect regarding genetics, a high polygenic score will generally have a rather overwhelming impact on absolute risk, and both clinicians and the public need to know this. So it'll be outrageously overwhelming if they start using this.
Wow. You know, this is amazing, and they make it sound like it's a miracle. This is going to save lives and change lives, and they make it sound like it's just something. It's just going to be a brand new whole area of miracles happening in people's lives. They play
it
up, and
it's like,
they're
going to
make beans off of it, I guarantee you.
It's almost like the crystal ball, you know, that we have the crystal ball. But so this is what's happening with your scientific research and your studies. They're offering new ways to diagnose disease and sell their treatments. So sending patients through tests are often used to promote treatments. It's a tool they use to sell you on the treatment. So that is why it's important to investigate the accuracy of your tests, get second opinions, and be open to other options for any necessary treatments whatsoever. And, you know, one of those things I tell people to, you know, be open-minded about is your natural therapies, you know, that God's provided us, your medicinal herbs and nutrition and spices and foods and things. So, I mean, that'll change your DNA in 6 days if you change your diet from a bad one to a healthy one. Science has confirmed that one already. So, what you are what you eat, basically. Remember Grandma used to say that?
Yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah. So, if anybody's interested in a catalog, by the way, we're out of our current catalogs, but our new one will be here next month. So we're starting a list. So if you want a new product catalog from Apothecary Herbs, you can just give us a call, and we'll put you on the list. The number is 866-229-3663. 866-229-3663, or you can send through a request on our website at thepowerherbs.com, thepowerherbs.com. By the way, Pastor Butch, we extended our Thanksgiving holiday sale through the end of this month, so tomorrow's the last day for 25% off. If people want to stock up on cold and flu and other things, this is the time to do it.
25% off, that's a good hit. That's great.
Yeah. That's details great. Are on our website, or they can just simply call in. The toll-free number, 866-229-3663, and ask questions about it, and we'll We'll tell you what's what. But I hope this enlightens people, you know, it isn't always what it appears to be, you know?
That's true. That's very true. Wendy Wilson, appreciate you. Thank you very much.
All right.
You have a great week, and I'll see you next Wednesday, Lord willing.
Okay, take care now. Bye-bye.
Okay, bye-bye, honey. Folks, back at the break, we're going to talk to Melly Sutcher and a lot of news to cover. Some of ridiculous, some of interesting. Don't go away.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom and CSE Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interests of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSETalkRadio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading 1-800-375-4188 or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
And if you ask me how I'm feeling, don't tell me you're too blind to see. Never gonna give you up, never gonna let you down, never gonna run around and desert you, never gonna make you cry, never gonna say goodbye, never gonna tell a lie and hurt you, never gonna give you.
All righty, folks, we are back, and guess who joined us? Melody Cederstrom is with us from Discount Gold and Silver, and the number to call, folks, is 800-375-4188. We're almost to a new record on gold. Silver's going back up like a thermometer in the summertime. Things are looking really good on metals. Get them now. I don't know if she still has any specials left or not of what she offered a couple of days ago, but she did. You should be on it like chickens on June bug, going after it as hard as you can. Melody, welcome.
Hi, thank you.
Good to have you.
It's great to be here.
And do you have any specials left?
Nope, specials gone. Specials are gone.
Oh.
You snooze, you lose.
Yep.
That saying is true. But we've seen some really nice moves in gold and silver. And, just remember, folks, things go up, things go down. And don't become... some people just get a little, disgusted because they think, they think gold is and silver is going to go to the moon overnight. Well, nothing goes to the moon overnight. And even rocket ships don't go to the moon overnight. So it takes time. And so, but you have to always, and that's why we always sell gold and silver on the fundamentals, not on any trend. Not on any, whim of, something happening. It's the long-term fundamentals. That's what you buy gold and silver for. And, give us a call at 1-800-375-4188. Today, Butch, maybe we're living in the wrong, alternate reality. You know, the U.S. economy grew 5.2% in the third quarter.
Mm-hmm.
5.2%. Grew faster than initially thought as businesses build more warehouses and accumulated machinery equipment, but momentum appears to have since waned as higher borrowing costs curb hiring and spending. I'm going to touch on that sentence. Businesses, so this is all businesses, built more warehouses and accumulated machinery equipment. Now, what that's telling me is those are tech jobs, robot jobs, not people jobs. And last year at this time when I visited my cousin up in Pennsylvania, we were going through the backcountry roads, and they live up around Hershey and that area. Huge warehouses were being built. Huge. Hershey was building huge warehousing. Provides some jobs, but not a whole lot, because they're using AI and everything else to replace the human worker. So that's what I found interesting about. But how often can they do that? So this was just an anomaly for the third quarter. But they'll use it, and they'll say how great. No sign of darkening skies for this economy. That's what they're saying. Bidenomics is working.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, it is really interesting that private inventory investment was a little bit higher than previous estimated. But growth in consumer spending accounts for more than two-thirds of the U.S. economic activity was lowered to, but it was still as 3.6%, but it was lower. And that was downgraded from 4.0. So they actually downgraded consumer spending. So take it as you might, how this report is always sort of twisted. And it just isn't always as they want you to think it is. So anyway.
Well, I think people that live basically on the level of most folks, including myself, realize that this is not really the truth when it comes to personal finances. I can't speak for billion dollar companies, but I can speak for the individuals that I know personally. It's tight. And I don't know about anybody else, but I've cut my spending back. I really have. And I'm not ashamed to admit that. I have. I'm more careful about what we do. I don't eat as much as you used to because it takes more to even buy groceries to put food on the table and to feed ourselves at home. So maybe somebody else is seeing something that I don't see. But I would think the people that are basically on our level, Melody, as far as earnings go, are not really seeing that big boom in spending. Oh, they're spending more money, perhaps, but they got less coming in for the money.
Absolutely.
So that's
absolutely
my opinion.
Absolutely.
Like I always say, my opinion, $2 buy a cup of coffee somewhere, but that's my opinion. So, anyway.
And, you know, there was another article out about CNBC where it says Americans are doom, D-O-O-M, spending. And, you know, because, yeah, a lot of people are concerned about the current state of the economy. But, you know, people are still out there spending more. They're not saving anything. And doom spending may be one way to cope with stress as economic fears mount.
Which just increases stress later on.
Yeah, exactly. It comes at the expense of your financial well-being. So, you know, there was a report by Intuit Credit Karma, where nearly 96% are concerned about the current state of the economy. 96% of Americans. That's huge.
I would say that's true. I'd say that's very true.
I agree. And much like doom scrolling, they're seeing people mindlessly shop to soothe concerns about the economy and foreign affairs. And so we see credit card debt tops $1 trillion. You got Gen Z and the millennials are particularly susceptible to this mindset, these reports show. And, you know, instead of cutting expenses and making it easier for you, they, and we talked about this many times, Butch, they live in the moment. They live in the moment. They don't think about tomorrow or the next week or, you know, whoever, if they want it. But you know what? It's these businesses, it's the government to push the economy, to get everybody spending and buying things. That's the mindset that they put these people in, issuing them all this credit. It doesn't matter. Remember both the dot-com bubble, you got the 2008. If you had a pulse, you could get credit. But none of these people are ever held responsible for the decline of the American people's finances. Yes, people need to take responsibility on their own. You know, you get what you know, hey. But yet, look at the pressure. They were brainwashed. They were, you know, Butch, it was the carrot was dangled, and they followed it, and they ate it.
That's called salesmanship.
You betcha.
You know? I just thank God I brought up some parents who taught me, if you can't afford it, don't get it. Just that easy. But don't get yourself in a bind. I got myself in a bind a couple times on a couple items.
We all do. We all do.
I learned my lesson. You know, I learned a lesson. It hurt, but I learned a lesson.
Yep.
You know, just the way it goes. So it is mostly common sense. You don't spend more than you're bringing in. And matter of fact, you should spend at least 20% less than what you bring in. To put back for hard times. That's just what I've tried to learn to do.
Cyber Monday spending hits all-time record.
Yes.
So, yep. Mindless spending. So.
But anyway, I know where we messed up because we weren't born in the right generation, Melody. Because they got a new course in college now that will help everybody. I think I sent this to you. I'm sure you saw the headline. But this is a new course you can get in Harvard, UC Berkeley, and University of Florida. Now, all those schools are really cheap to send your children to, aren't they?
Very cheap.
You know, yeah. Taylor Swift college courses to be offered at Harvard, UC Berkeley, University of Florida. Nope. Yeah, and now this is unbelievable. College courses on the jet-setting climate change activist pop star who backs Democrats, Taylor Swift will reportedly be offered at Harvard University, UC Berkeley, and University of Florida this spring. Harvard professor and diehard Swiftie Stephanie L. Burt will be teaching a new course called Taylor Swift and Her World. Now, won't that just get you all kinds of knowledge, prepare you for what's happening in this world, to go out and get you a good paying occupation or start a business, learn about Taylor Swift and her world, set to debut this spring in the Ivy League University English Department, according to a report by the Harvard Crimson. In this class, students will earn college credit for their deep dives into Swift's lyrics, music, and influence. Dissecting her catalog and reading a host of authors Burt finds relevant to understanding Swift's artistry. Professor Burt, who graduated from Harvard in 1994, told the Harvard Crimson, "I try to teach only the courses that I think our students can really use, either because students want them or because their curriculum needs them." Now, that is a course, Mel, that every young person should take. Don't you agree?
Oh, absolutely.
I mean, this is so absolutely insane. I mean, people are going to pay hundreds of thousands of dollars, put their sons and daughters through this school, these schools, and they're going to teach a course on how to dissect Taylor Swift's lives, and I guess model your life after her. I don't want to be mad at that. That's just so disgustingly stupid. I don't want to be mad about it.
That is crazy.
Anything else you want to say about it?
No.
Aren't you going to attend?
I might. I might take a. I wonder if they offer that online.
They might do it. You never know. I can see you on stage now, dancing around a microphone. I can see that. There you go. Different direction. Courts reject another bid to keep President Trump off primary ballot. A federal district court in Rhode Island on Monday rejected a bid to disqualify former President Donald Trump from canvassing in 2024 presidential election, citing an earlier ruling by the appeals court that rejected a similar claim. Chief Judge John J. McConnell of the U.S. District Court in Rhode Island on Monday summarily dismissed a complaint by John Anthony Castro, a lesser-known Republican presidential candidate from Texas, I never heard of the man before, by the way, who sought to disqualify President Trump from the ballot. That marked another defeat for Mr. Castro, who has filed lawsuits in more than two dozen states over the past few months, including the one in Rhode Island that was dismissed today. Now, he's also lost in Florida, Colorado, New Hampshire, Minnesota, and Michigan. So he's losing cases all the country trying to get Trump off the ballot. So I just thought I'd share that. I don't know what difference it's going to make for this Castro guy. I never heard of the guy, so I don't think he has much chance of making president. But he's doing his best, and I'm sure he's backed by the people, to keep Trump off the ballot. Any comments on that?
No, but, you know, all we hear now is about Nikki Haley. Nikki Haley. You have J.P. Morgan's Diamond. He said he's telling Democrats should boost Nikki Haley. If you are a very liberal Democrat, I urge you to help Nikki Haley. So, you know, and she met with him a week or so ago. And for people out there who think she's the next best thing, they're sadly mistaken. She's a new world order. She's all behind the banking. She's all behind Wall Street. And of course, if you have, you know, you might want somebody that thinks that they might do something for Wall Street. But she'll bail everybody out just like they all did. She's not good for this country. That's my opinion.
Well, I agree with your opinion. I truly do. I agree with that. And we see another hard hit on New York. The departure of over 2,500 police officers should be a resounding call to action for New York government. Per a disturbing news report from the New York Post, it's been revealed that over 2,500 police officers have left the New York Police Department for the year, with more likely to depart before 2024 rolls around. What's even more concerning is that over 1,000 of those officers actually quit before they become eligible for their pension after two decades of service. The stress of the job and the changing conditions of how the public views officers after defund the police has taken their toll on them. The workload is a leading factor driving people away from the job, Police Benevolent Association President Patrick Hendry explained. If the NYPD is going to survive these staffing reductions, it cannot keep just squeezing cops for more hours. It's been an uphill struggle for the NYPD over the past 2 years between increasing crime rate, several in the unnecessary firings during the COVID pandemic, and the current decision by Democrat Mayor Eric Adams to freeze hiring in an effort to resolve its migrant crisis, a poor decision given said crime rate. One police officer even noted, "I keep in contact with the guys that I was in the police academy with, and we all have one the same notion. I think maybe 95% of us are planning on leaving." Wow. If they want to get rid of the cops and defund the police, they may find out real soon just how bad it's going to get. And it's already bad enough. I can only imagine what it's going to be like if 95% of the ones here, this gentleman knows, decides to walk out. That's not a good thing, Melody.
No, it isn't. Not at all. Wow.
I mean, our nation is disintegrating around us. Literally falling apart. I mean, when you have a president from China, Xi Jinping, come over and tell our government that I want those streets cleaned up before I get here. I want the poop cleaned up. I want the drug addicts off the streets. I want the homeless off the streets. And they did it in a matter of half a day or so, cleared the streets off just for him. That goes to show you maybe who pulls weight around here. I mean, they didn't do it for the people. They didn't do it for the people of San Francisco. They didn't do it. They didn't do it for them. They did it because they had a dignitary coming. Comments?
No, I agree with you. And now all those homeless are right back on the street.
Yes, they are.
They're right back where they went, where they took them from.
So that's just, oh, that's so sad. It almost breaks my heart to see this happening. And Mayorkas, bless his heart, there are 12 million people in the U.S. illegally who contribute so fundamentally to our country's well-being. Isn't that a beautiful statement, a kind-hearted statement?
That's what they think. Already. That's what they think. You taking us out?
I can, folks. Back at the break, a lot more to talk about. Don't go away.
Such a fine sight to see. It's a girl, my lord, in a flatbed Ford, slowing down to take a look at me. Come on, baby.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom and CSE Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interests of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSETalkRadio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Bethann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading 1-800-375-4188 or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Bethann are strong forces together working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
Alrighty, folks, we are back, and it's too bad y'all can't hear what's going on in the break sometimes. You probably never listen to us again. But anyway.
Well, you wouldn't have called me what you did on the air.
It wasn't a bad thing.
No, not at all.
No, I wouldn't do that. But anyway.
Not at all.
Welcome back, folks. Another segment go here, and I'm going to finish this story about Mayorkas said. Now, this is coming from a gentleman you would think would know better than this. During an interview with Bloomberg TV on Monday, DHS Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas responded to a question on how to handle people who are in the country illegally by stating there are 12 million people who are here in the United States who have been contributing so fundamentally to our country's well-being. Now, Melody, I would think that somebody will call him on that. They're here illegally, but they're contributing to us while we feed them, clothe them, and house them. Now, I would think somebody would make a comment on that and follow up with that, but apparently not.
You'd think.
Gee, that's so far insane. Oh, well.
It really is.
I mean, 12 million. And they admit to 12 million.
And they're proud of it.
Oh, yeah. And who? But who knows how many there really are?
Yeah.
He mentioned 12, probably closer to 20 or more. Unbelievable. New York retailers blast Governor Hochul after losing $4.4 billion to theft last year. Hochul vetoed a proposal last week that would create a 15-member task force of appointed experts to tackle organized retail crime to the chagrin of store owners. Retailers throughout the state are extremely disappointed to learn that Governor Hochul voted vetoed a bipartisan bill, that would have established the New York State's Organized Retail Crime Task Force. The Retail Council of New York State said in a statement on November 20th, stores that invest in New York communities like lose $4.4 billion in retail theft, and this legal activity certainly has community safety implications. Council President and CEO Melissa O'Connor said she spoke with Hochul at length to discuss the need for immediate action and an effective collaborative response to this problem. They reported that her administration has disappointed store owners throughout the state with their inaction. A spokesman for Hochul accused the veto. Listen to this, folks. Businesses lost $4.4 billion. Hochul excused the spokesman for Hochul excused the veto by saying a task force would have cost the state $35 million. It was not in the budget. $35 million to New York State is a spit in the ocean. It's nothing. But they would not do it because it would cost the state $35 billion, because the cost of business over $35 million, because the business over $4.4 billion. Now, there's something, again, wrong with that story.
Yeah, I hear you. I agree.
You know, do they want businesses to close?
Well, they're selective in the types of business they want to close, I think, to some degree.
I mean, they even show something on TV where dozens go into a store one time and smash and grab everything in the store.
I know.
And run out with it, and nothing's really done about it. Wow. That's just a sad state of affairs in a country that used to be somewhat of a safe society to live in. A sad state of affairs. And Elliott Management takes $1 billion stake in Phillips 66. See 75% upside. Now, this is kind of a hit in the face of the greenies, I guess you could say. While the outward-facing bastardization of the oil industry continues from left-wing lunatics, those actually interested in reality and making money realize that the runway for the world's fossil fuel industry still has plenty of room. That's probably why Elliott Investment Management, who is reported to have amassed a $1 billion position, the American multinational energy company, Phillips 66, according to reporting on CNBC's David Faber, the investment management sees potential upside of about 75% in the name, Bloomberg reported, and seeking two directors at the company. So they're still investing in something that they know they got to have because the alternative is not going to work, and they know it. They know it. So good for them, and I'm glad that somebody has some common sense out there to see this insanity about these greenies are not going to make this thing happen. No matter how much they want to happen, they're going to try to force it on us. But no matter how much you want to happen, it just ain't going to fly that well. As a matter of fact, a new report reveals how much everyone pays for electric vehicles, whether you buy one or not. Now, this article is something else to think about. All of us pay for electric vehicles, whether you own one or not.
Mm-hmm.
Well, first off, they're given tax breaks, aren't they?
They are.
And tax incentives. Guess who pays for that? But even beyond that,
it's just the government.
There's been a lot
right?
of talk
we
about
don't.
I'm pardon. Go ahead.
The government, not us.
Of course, not us. Government. Yeah, they make their own money, and they do literally. But yeah, mate. There's been a lot of talk about electric vehicles becoming more affordable than internal combustion engines. Cars and trucks. However, estimated costs, including taxes and subsidies, can indicate that there is up to 48,000. Listen to this: 48,000 in socialized costs per EV. They're not included in the sticker price, but are rather paid by Americans at large. Each one of them costs American taxpayers $48,000. Even those customers that aren't interested in buying an EV are helping to pay the purchase price anyway. Given that the average EV buyer earns more than $150,000 a year, this amounts to a wealth transfer from less affluent Americans to the rich. The Texas Public Policy Foundation filed a report in October titled Overcharged Expectations, Unmasking the True Cost of EVs. This report details all the ways Americans are subsidizing EV owners. Britt Bennett, co-author of the report, explained to the Epoch Times, within the $48,000 is what we consider to be a socialized cost to a taxpayer, to other people in your utility service area, or onto gasoline vehicles. He added, because the power of draw of EVs is so high, that puts extra strain on infrastructure. EVs charging will pull down as much electricity as a few homes, so eventually you will have to upgrade your infrastructure to handle that. These additional capital costs show up in the higher electric bills and are just one example of the socialized cost of EVs. So it takes the average cost of a few homes electricity to charge a car. Interesting. But who cares? Golly. Melly, chime in when you want to.
I will.
Nobody wants to buy U.S. Treasury bonds. I wonder why. Once this symbol of America's economic might and accepted as a global coin of the realm, they have fallen badly out of favor, with serious consequences for taxpayers, investors, and financial markets. Elementary economic forces, too much supply and not enough demand, have collided to create the worst stretch of U.S. government bonds since the Civil War. The government keeps borrowing to cover its budget deficits, while once reliable buyers of that debt, both at home and abroad, have pulled back. The result? Investors are demanding the steepest yield since 2007. Auctions of fresh bonds that were once routine are now going terribly, and bond portfolios are getting absolutely hammered. The longest dated treasury bonds are in a bear market, worse than the dot-com bust and almost as bad as 2008. The government is borrowing more than expected, increasing the supply of treasuries and dinging their value. Meanwhile, the Federal Reserve is selling down its own holdings, dumping yet more bonds in a market that doesn't really want them. There's just a lot less demand than there were even 6 months ago, Goldman Sachs' Jim Esposito said last week. You can buy a six-month T-bill that's yielding north of 5%. Why would you buy that instead of a long-term bond yielding 4.75%? So why wouldn't you buy the cheaper other one? Sure, of course. But nobody wants them. Our debt is too big, and the people are starting to realize these bonds are a bad investment. They're losing more than they're getting out of them, obviously. So that's another sign of a decaying economic system that's built on fraud. What do you think, Melody?
Yesterday I mentioned I saw an article briefly where China and Japan held, at one point, held like 22% of our treasuries, and now that number's down to like 7. That's how.
Wow.
Yeah, you have Japan who is selling those treasuries to prop up their currencies. So, but yeah, that's huge. So where did they make up that difference? Oh, I believe it's called the Federal Reserve. So it's so bizarre. And it's just amazing, Butch, that this can, what they're doing and how they're doing it, it has worked for them. It has worked. You can't deny that.
Oh, it has worked.
But
absolutely
good
has.
Grief. Look what they've done.
But how many people have a way they can sell stock in themselves and keep spending more?
Yeah.
It's amazing. And you talked about this before in the past too. The bottleneck in the Panama Canal forces top tanker operator to reroute ships. You've been talking this about in the past. They're down now to 25 a day average. It used to be 38 to 40 a day. And they could go down low as 18 a day in the very near future by February if this doesn't change. That's going to add ships to the shipping costs, is it not?
Absolutely, you would think.
Yeah, definitely will. And this article, one step away from the biggest oil shock in history. Now, this is, I wonder why this hasn't already affected oil prices, just out of the fear this could happen. Used to be it would have. The Strait of Hormuz is a narrow strip of water that links the Persian Gulf to the rest of the world. It's the world's single most important energy corridor, and there's no alternative route. Five of the world's top oil-producing countries, Saudi Arabia, Iran, Iraq, United Arab Emirates, and Kuwait, border the Persian Gulf, as does Qatar, the world's largest liquefied natural gas exporter. The Strait of Hormuz is their only sea route to the open ocean and world markets. As the nearest point, the space for the shipping lanes is about 2 miles wide. Maybe that's nothing, is it?
No, and I said
2 miles wide.
That's how I kind of knew, and I've been saying that this isn't something's going on with what's going on over there in Israel and so forth, because if Iran would have shut that down in a flash.
And they can do it very easily. A couple of huge tankers, and that's 2 miles, you're done. According to the U.S. Energy Information Administration, more than 40% of global oil exports transit the strait daily. That's more than $1.5 billion worth of oil every day. And that's not considering the immense amount of LNG, about 33% of the world's daily LNG exports and other goods transitioning the strait. So it's very dangerous, folks. If someone were to disrupt the strait, it would cause an immediate global economic chaos as energy prices skyrocket. Oh, my. If that would happen, you'd be paying $8, $9 a gallon of gasoline easy.
Yeah.
Gee.
Absolutely.
So these are things that I don't know if maybe people don't consider, but it is what it is, and it's real. And one
it's
last article
real.
Here before I get run out of time in a minute. The humanoid invasion is coming, like it or not. And by the way, they're making these new humanoids are going to be very good-looking, specimen, voluptuous females, and I guess masculine males. They're going to make them as much as human as possible. With AI and industrial robots coming to humanoids, Elon Musk is in a race with China to see who will lead the world in mass production. Powered by AI, they will be super capable to step into roles like caregiver, nanny, medical assistant, RoboCop, paralegal, sex surrogate, and more. Sex surrogate. I mean, just let this stuff sink in a minute. Technocrats would build because they can, not because there is a moral or ethical mandate to do so. As such, they are on a trajectory to destroy what it means to be human. Now, folks, they want this, excuse me, China wants their plant ready and running by 2025, about a year from now. They say that in 15 years, humanoid robots will be viable in factories between 2025, 2028, another job by 2030. So they're moving into this area. We're going to see it hurt the economy and people's jobs very quickly. Melody, go ahead.
Absolutely. Those big warehouses and everything, they're not being employed by people. So are we out of time?
We're about out of time.
Not quite. Not quite. You know, I just did a quick comparison on Silver Eagles, Butch, and I went to a website online, and I just can't believe they're selling 1 ounce American Silver Eagles at $9 over spot. It's like, are you kidding me? Even if you buy a bunch of them, you're still paying $6.99, so $7 an ounce. I mean, that is just ridiculous when we can do it for $6.
That's
unbelievable.
Yes, it is.
So they're taking you. Give us a call, 1-800-375-4188. We'll be back tomorrow. So until then, be safe, good night, and God bless.
I work all night, I work all day to pay the bills I have to pay. Ain't it sad? And still there never seems to be a single penny left for me. That's too bad.